You mentioned that it's an old drug, and I guess I hear it being described as an alkylating agent. Is that really all it does?
The mechanisms of action of the drug are incompletely understood. If you look at the chemical structure of bendamustine, it has an alkylating agent, a mustard-like group, and it also has another moiety which is reminiscent of an anti-metabolite, even a purine analog. And we know it does work as an alkylating agent. However, in the laboratory, it is non-cross-resistant with other alkylating agents. That meaning in cells that aren't killed by cyclophosphamide, chlorambucil, or melphalan, they're killed just fine by bendamustine. It also activates a process called mitotic catastrophe, which is a non-apoptotic mechanism of death. It also acts by apoptotic mechanisms, inducing apoptosis. It affects mitotic checkpoints. There's a whole lot of ways it affects a variety of genes and molecules involved in apoptosis and non-apoptotic mechanisms of action. So it does a lot of things, and clinically, those translate into a very efficacious drug.
Anything new in terms of the mechanism of action of rituximab and the possibility that there might be, you know, synergy between these agents?
You've hit upon one of the big problems in lymphoid malignancies, that we have really no great idea how rituximab really works. We know that it affects antibody-dependent cellular cytotoxicity, or ADCC, and complement-mediated cytotoxicity, and it induces apoptosis. But even cells that express CD20 may be resistant to this anti-CD20 monoclonal antibody. So there are other things going on that we don't understand. For example, why is a cell which retains CD20 and was sensitive now become resistant to it? So we don't know. There is research looking at this, but we really don't have much of a clue at the present time. There are some in vitro data from Rummel et al. Suggesting that bendamustine and rituximab are synergistic in vitro, but the mechanisms by which this occurs were not elaborated.